This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're coming to you from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage on this very busy Wednesday around the country. What's going on? How is everybody doing today? TK, how are you, pal? You okay?
I can't complain. Now, if I was Alex Cora, I would be complaining.
You know, say this, and we're going to start with that, obviously. By the way, Bill Cowher will join us, third hour of the show. Obviously, start getting ready for the football. We'll sprinkle in all the baseball stuff, though. Say this about baseball. Now, like, when something goes awry with baseball, I mean, it just smashes off the road and is engulfed in flames fast.
Yeah. No, they're big scandals when it happens.
Little things you kind of stick in the corner of the
like
room.
Like the little things they don't worry about. Like the things that we get up in a huff about with the NFL, marijuana or you know what I mean, these substances of abuse.
How you wear your uniform.
Exactly. These guys getting pinched for four games, 16 games for smoking weed. Like baseball, it's like, okay, that's a minor one.
Yeah.
Like, I understand what you guys are trying to do, self-medicate yourself, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But when things go off the rails in Major League Baseball, they really go off the rails. And we already know the repercussions in Houston with A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow both getting fired, the head coach and general manager, respectively, suspended and then fired. We don't know what was going to happen with Alex Cora and his investigation under Major League Baseball's rules. But the Astros, and I guess Alex Cora and conjunction, mutually agreed.
You mean the Red Sox?
The Red Sox.
Yeah.
Mutually agreed to part ways.
That showed him some respect. He was going to get fired anyway he cut it.
They knew it was coming. He was going to be suspended for at least a year.
Oh, I'm thinking much more than that.
But at least a year.
For sure.
And so as you said yesterday, who's managing the team?
Yeah.
So we might as well get it out of the way and start looking forward to who's going to be the skip for 2020 for the Boston Red Sox. But, I mean, we don't know the full extent of what is going to be heaped down on Alex Cora, but it's going to be heavy. We know it's going to be heavy.
It's going to be very heavy. You know, something this big, and this had to be the Red Sox thinking, no matter how they framed it, positioned it, mutual, you know, Alex came to, whatever. Something this big, there's no waiting it out. There's no hoping for the noise to dissipate.
No, it's not going to dissipate.
No, it's going to grow louder. And we'll play this a little bit because now Carlos Beltran, I mean, his number, we'll kick this down the road for a couple of minutes. But, you know, I'm starting to, and I intimated this yesterday, but I'm really starting to think that Beltran's number might be called soon by the Mets. Not so much Major League Baseball, but by the Mets here. But, you know, the London series, remember the Yankees and the Red Sox played two games in London last year? Okay.
Yeah, because you hated it.
I didn't mind the results, but
no,
I hated the yes, I hated it. I did say that many times. Take it our American, you know, grown
up. It's the biggest rivalry.
Exactly. Give them the Rays and the Rangers or whatever. That's what I was saying in real time. But it worked out. Yankees smashed it all over the yard. There was a lot of high. I mean, the configuration of the stadium was weird.
Yeah.
And there were bombs left and right. But that, and I heard this morning, and we'll play it for you in a couple minutes. The post-game or post-series press conference by Alex Cora was amazing because he talked about Carlos Beltran. He gave a little wink. He basically said, I'm putting words in his mouth. You'll hear for yourself in a little bit. Basically said, this guy's a mastermind. He's whatever he's plotted works. I know all the tricks. I mean, you couldn't be more like, hey, you know, we got a little something going on here in the corner of the room. So baseball had to do this. The teams had to do this. And, you know, the thing is, you might, and I don't think people look at baseball in these terms. If this was football, like from a coordinator point of view or a head coach point of view, and we'll have Coach Cowher on third hour, so, you know, that's an interesting comparison. Baseball, a lot of people say, you know, just write down so-and-so's name in the third spot. This guy's going to be our seven hitter. This guy's our swing fourth outfielder. Sit back, you know, probably chew some seeds, have a dip, and watch us win 5-4 or lose 7-2.
In the years before bullpenning, I would agree with that. But skips have a lot more to do on with changing of pitching staffs and analytics nowadays.
Why you have to do this now.
That's right, yeah.
You have to do this because imagine going to spring training And, I mean, the Yankees are loaded. Yankees picked up the first or second best pitcher in baseball. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think it's DeGrom, great. If not, it's the guy that they got this offseason. So the Yankees are going to be loaded. There's a lot of good teams. For the, imagine the Red Sox, like, you know, I'm just throwing out an arbitrary date. Let's say May 3rd. Whether they're 17-13 in April or 20-10, whatever, or 10-20. But imagine May 3rd. Boom, it comes down. They conclude their investigation, MLB. It's worse than we anticipate. Cora gets crushed. The Red Sox have to fire him. And now, you know, 30 games into the season, you're like, whoa, we got a problem here. Yeah. So preemptively, it was the smart move.
Yeah, it was
the only move.
Well, the smart move, but I think the thing that I can't help thinking about, DT, is like, who else was doing this? Like, we know that the Houston Astros did it. And I saw this meme that CeCe put out yesterday. I don't even know if it was a meme, because it wasn't really a meme. Mm. It was a broadcast, like an actual broadcast.
Was this a news broadcast?
Yes,
with the trash can. I watched that last night. The Houston affiliate.
It was hilarious.
Hopefully it wasn't a CBS affiliate. I didn't think it was that good.
It was, no.
I didn't think that was
just
that good
the fact
all.
That they did it.
Yeah, no, it was an, yeah.
The trash can was like, I'm in the trash can protection program right now.
I have a lonely existence.
Exactly.
It was, I didn't love the execution. The premise was
good. Was funny. But my point is, this is a big deal, right?
To the point that it's hitting
pop culture like that.
Front page of the Times today.
Exactly.
And it was on the Today Show.
I know. So
if you were still there, you would have been doing the story.
That's right.
Let's get out to our correspondent, Tiki Barber, who's out in Houston and Fenway Park jointly somehow.
It's actually Rondé in Fenway and Tiki down in Minute Maid.
Yeah, that is right.
But you know what I mean? So like, it's become like this a massive thing. And we're focused on the Astros and we're focused on the Red Sox because those are the two names that are like popping off the page at us.
Plus,
right
they
now.
Won championships.
And they won championships. So clearly, you cheated to win a championship.
Yeah.
You got like players deleting the congratulations to the other players because they think they cheated to get the championship. And poor you, Darvish, I still feel for from a couple of years ago getting teed off on in Game 7 against Houston Astros when he was a member of the Dodgers. But
that was in L.A.
I know.
It is what it is. Great empathy for you, Darvish,
I
noticed.
Yeah, I mean.
You always bring him up.
Because you're on the road doesn't mean you can't attempt to do similar type of things. But my point is, regardless of the execution and the downstream of those two teams, how many other teams are doing this?
Probably
right?
a lot.
I agree. It's got to be more. It's not just two teams that were doing this.
No way.
Like players talk, coaches talk, or managers, I should say, talk. Coaches, too, as well. Underneath the skibs. And look, this is what we devised a way that this guy is giving away X, Y, or Z.
Mm-hmm.
You can tip it off, and you know what? This is where you can find out what he's throwing. And so MLB, I think, came down hard on the Astros because they had to. I mean, it got so big so quickly that once Rob Manfred finished the investigation, he had to lay the hammer. And it was a defining moment for him. Let's face it. Look, we talked about this before it even – before the decision came down, this was Rob Manfred's chance to put a big a stamp on his legacy. Not dissimilar to Adam Silver when he took over in the NBA and Donald Sterling situation came to fore, and he just smashed it right out of the park and put a big stamp on his legacy right at the beginning of his tenure as the commissioner. Rob Manfred had to do the same thing. And in some ways, by coming down hard on the Houston Astros and ultimately, I think, the Boston Red Sox, it's going to be fulfilling. But I think it's short-sighted because this has got to be bigger. It has to be bigger than what it is.
Well, you know what, Teague? I don't dispute that. And if it is bigger, it'll come out. Always comes out in a wash.
Yeah.
Guys change teams. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, this is said. This is planted. This is uncovered. Here's video. You know, in a lot of ways... Talking about to Manfred, who I would have absolutely crushed if he didn't do this. Mm-hmm. Now I stand up and I give him a standing ovation.
Yep.
He really, and in a lot of ways, it was a beach ball. Well, I mean, it was lobbed to him. I mean, you have to drop the hammer, and by doing that, it basically gives you an authoritative figure, like an authoritative presence. It carves out a historical niche in a favorable way right away, like Silver, as Deke said. But if this would have crept into the season, let's say the Astros didn't fire Hinch, obviously suspended, and the Red Sox didn't fire Cora, but suspended. So they're both not in the dugout. But this would have bled into certainly all spring training would have been about this. That's why, as I get to the Mets, That's why I honestly think, Tiki, the more I think about this, I really believe that Carlos Beltran is going to get fired, and I'm now beginning to think that he should.
Hmm.
And as recently as 5 hours ago, I thought that he might,
yeah,
but I didn't think that he should.
Yeah. Now, the problem with Carlos Beltran is that he was a player when all this was going on. He wasn't in a managerial position, right? He wasn't, he could have been orchestrating the whole process and making it happen, but he was a player. And I think MLB maybe inadvertently has exonerated him from culpability by saying no player is going to be disciplined. Because, and when you know why, because if you're going to discipline a player, that means you're going to end up disciplining hundreds of players.
Correct.
And so you're not going to have who's playing ball. You'd have all the minor leaguers up because everybody was a part of this in some way or another. And again, I'm going on the premise that this wasn't just these two teams, the Astros and the Red Sox. It was a bunch of teams that were doing this. And look, we'll have Steven Souza on at the end of this hour, BT, and he's a current Major League Baseball player. We can ask him his opinion because he knows. He sees it.
Yeah.
These guys know when other guys are cheating is whether or not you're going to get caught, right, is what becomes the issue. The Astros got caught. The Red Sox got caught. Who else is going to get caught?
I think in simplest terms, and then I want to give another thought on Beltran of the Mets. In simplest terms, because there's still some people, amazingly, who don't think that this is a huge deal. All I could tell you is this. From an execution point of view, you know, and Ted Williams wrote a book about this, which I read, The Hot Zone, The Cold Zone. It's a great book. If you have, you know, whether you're an old baseball fan or a young fan, get your hands on it. The Art of Hitting and The Science of Hitting. I think that the hardest thing in sports, and many of us have said this, and I certainly believe this, is hitting a baseball.
Mm-hmm.
It's the hardest thing at that highest level.
That's right.
The average fan, you could pull some drunk out of the stands at MetLife or at Heinz Field, and he could probably throw a 10-yard spiral. He could catch it. He might even kick one over the uprights for a 20-yarder, you know what I mean? You pull some schlep out of the arena, hit a half-court shot, you know, hit a three, probably dribble a little bit. Put that same person at home plate trying to hit something moving, and he's not going to touch. Forget it. He has no chance, even if he played high school or college. My point is, when you know what's coming, it is now the equivalent of batting practice. That truly is what happens.
For the pros.
The pros, of course. Now, with Beltran and the Mets, and there's been such an infusion of energy with the Mets. First of all, the Mets have a really good roster, okay? The Mets have something they haven't had in Lord knows how long, and that's an infusion of real money coming in a couple of years. The story that my partner broke, by the way, Tiki, he's the Peter Gammons.
The insider.
Peter Gammons all of a sudden here. And it was a huge story. And it changes how the Mets will do business. All these things are so favorable. Mets really do have a good team.
Yeah.
And Carlos Beltran may have been a pretty good choice to be their manager. It is my opinion now that as this is morphing into something that you cannot control, whether it's baseball or the Mets from the New York media, how do you trot him out there and have him read something and say, I've already addressed this. With all due respect, guys, I'm not going to touch this again. You know where I stand. That's not going to fly, man. And the last thing that you need to do for a team that's trying to take a big step and they've got the weapons to do it is to be derailed by this nonsense.
Yeah,
I think he's got to go.
But can he? I mean, the only way to salvage it would be to fully come clean about it and say, look, players are not going to be – I was a player when this was happening. We devised this system and we executed it by doing XYZ. It was wrong. We're not going to do it as an organization with the New York Mets. That's the only way he can get ahead of it. Otherwise, people are going to talk about it as if he is cheating, even though he's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I still because think he wouldn't, even if you get ahead of it, and I hear you, I still don't think it would work. Especially in this city.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
It's a long season.
True, but it doesn't have anything to do with his ability to manage. Granted, we don't know what kind of manager he's going to be because he never has been a manager.
But he's a great baseball man.
Of course,
he is. And I hate that this is happening to him, or could. But let's be honest, he made his own bed.
Mm.
He made his own bed.
Yeah.
So did Cora. So did Hinch. Varying degrees of culpability for sure. I just don't know how you try to avoid this on a day-in and day-out basis when you meet the media before the game, when you meet the media after the game, and you play baseball just about every single day.
Yeah.
Tough to hide, man.
I don't disagree.
You know?
We'll see what they ultimately decide to do, but it doesn't look like MLB is coming down on Carlos Beltran.
And I'm okay with that because he was given immunity as a player. Mm-hmm. But this is more about the Mets. They've got a tough decision. 1-855-212-4227. So we know what the Astros have done independent of baseball. We know what the Red Sox have done independent of baseball. What should the New York Mets do independent of whatever ruling or statement or however you want to frame it from Manfred? What should the Mets do with Beltran? We'll get to that. We got Bill Cowher coming up today, which is going to be great. Inbounds, out of bounds, hour number two. Steven Souza, good friend of the show, former, not former, major league outfielder, started joining us. We used to listen to us when he was in Tampa, and he just randomly called in or tweeted at us. Yeah. I want to come on the show. And from that, Steve, Atik was chatting with him the other night. So from that point forward, we've had a great relationship. We'll get some honest, authentic thoughts on a player who seemingly does it the right way, and I don't think he's going to hold back. So that's going to be awesome. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. We're the owner rent. GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. All right, Tiki and Tierney here on this Wednesday around the country. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, radio.com, on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. We'll get some of these calls in a second. Steven Souza going to join us next. I know he's got some pretty poignant takes because Tiki was texting with him the other night. So Steven Souza will join us next. We've got Bill Cowher in the third hour. We'll do a Luke Kuechly situation and the broader conversation off the early retirements that is now beginning to plague, if I can use that word, the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And Ice Cube tomorrow. Ice Cube's going to be on the show, which is always sweet. Yeah, yay. All right, very quickly before these calls, this bothers me. And, sometimes we joke around, Mr. Literal Man makes an appearance. but sometimes Mr. Literal Man has to make an appearance.
Go ahead.
And here's an appearance for you. So who won the MVP back in 2017? That would be Jose Altuve, mm-hmm. all right? Who almost won the award back in 2017? Be Aaron Judge, the Yankees, right? Now, Aaron Judge just went to arbitration, and he got, I think it was eight million, whatever, a little change, whatever it was. Certainly a sizable raise, but based on his propensity to flirt with 50 bombs, he's grossly underpaid. It's the way baseball goes. Here's a question for the arbiter. What if he had an MVP on his resume? Which he very well might if Jose Altuve wasn't getting the bangs.
That's a good point. Yeah.
And people overlook this stuff.
But that also goes back to taking the championship away conversation. Like, there's so many ifs and buts that if you, you know what I mean?
I'm not saying to take it away. I agreed. It's the ball of yarn that never ends. But it's perspective that just shows how wrong this stuff is.
Yeah, but if
That's why I bring it up.
But if he had an MVP, I think what you're saying is if he had an MVP,
he might get 13 million.
He'd have 12 to 13
whatever
million.
Whatever it might be.
I agreed.
So he literally lost a few million because of that.
Yeah.
And that's just the start of it.
That's why he deleted
it.
His tweet. Congratulations to Jose Altuve.
All right. So the Mets are at the podium. The Mets haven't really said a peep yet. They haven't grabbed the microphone yet.
They shouldn't until they have to.
That's true. That's true.
PR 101.
That's true.
Don't talk until you have to.
It's getting to the point where they might have to.
I think you're
the vultures are starting to surround. And I don't say this with any great joy because I thought Carlos Beltran was a good hire.
Mm-hmm.
And as early as this morning, as I wrestled with this on social media, on Twitter, I said, they got a real problem. I would not fire Beltran, but as of this point at 3:26 Eastern, I think the Mets are going to have to fire Beltran. I might be wrong, but it's coming to that point where it's got to be on the table. Otherwise, they're just snoozing. All right, let's get Daniel, who's in Virginia. Danny's on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Daniel? How you doing today?
Doing just fine. How are y'all?
Okay. What's up, man?
I just thought that if the Mets were going to make that decision to fire him, they wouldn't have hired him in the first place, as the Astros were under investigation when they started their process at the beginning of the offseason anyways.
Yeah, but I don't know if we knew how deep it was going to go. So I remember hearing about the cheating scandal. Oh, they're stealing signs or however they were doing. It was kind of like, man, that's just dirty of them. But you know what? If you're not cheating, you're not really trying, right? Everybody tries to steal signs, whether it's, the conventional way or, some dude with binoculars out in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
And you recognize patterns and you give it to the players. It's like, I thought it was something benign like that,
mm-hmm.
to be honest with you.
I know you did.
And then as it came further and further down the line and MLB got involved, you realize how dubious this was, like how deep this was and how sophisticated this was. And they were using technology that they obviously shouldn't have been doing, but the Mets couldn't have known that. And so if they're going to fire him, it's going to be because of what happened now, not because of what we thought back then.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for the call. I just think it's a little naive to latch on to the position of our last caller. Nobody knew that it was going to morph into this. Now, mm-hmm. I was ranting. Go and look on YouTube. It's there. This bothered me. This really bothered me. And I think it was November 9th when you were out, November 13th, or November 13th and November 19th, one of those 2 days. Two of those 3 days were stories about the Astros. And we went deep into it.
Yeah.
You know, so, but when they hired Beltran,
do you think they asked him about it? I mean, they had to have asked him about it, right?
I would think so. But then sometimes don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that's the question. And
let's
again,
be honest. Did you ask your ex-girlfriend how many people they slept with? Did you want them to ask?
No.
Yeah, I mean, no.
Of course not.
There's certain things you don't want to know.
Yeah, you're right.
So maybe we like this guy. We want to hire him. Yeah. Let's not ask him because we might not like the answer.
And again, he was a player. It wasn't like he was in any way part of the organization. I mean, he was, but he wasn't like behind the scenes in the organization. He was on the field. Mm-hmm. So he's a player.
Yeah.
And I don't know if MLB had told them we're not going to go after players at that time. But if they did, then you probably don't need to ask Carlos mm-hmm. Beltran mm-hmm. the question.
It's a good point. That's a good point. Let's get Tony, who's in Southern California. And Tony is on Tiki and Tierney. Tony, what's up, buddy? How you doing today?
How you two doing?
All right,
doing
man. What's
very
up?
Well.
What's hey, up? First of all, I just want to let Tiki know I'm a Cowboys fan.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to leave you alone today.
What's
Brandon,
that?
What?
My problems with you, you're not saying anything at all about what the Dodgers went through. Clayton Kershaw had a 4-0 lead in Game 5 of that World Series, and all of a sudden, trash cans start banging, and he can't get anybody out. If the Dodgers win that game, they go back to L.A. with mm-hmm. just needing to win one game to be world champions for the first time in 30 years, and you're not saying anything about that at all.
That's fair. The one thing I will say, Tony, and I love that you point that out,
yeah.
I'm probably focusing on the immediacy of the Astros with the Yankees, in fairness, good point, but how many times have we watched Clayton Kershaw melt down in the playoffs in one inning, and there was no banging on the trash cans? So, I'm not saying that maybe that one, the latest one or the last one wasn't a result of the trash cans or a deeper level of cheating. What about the other ones? I mean, I'm just asking.
Well, I'll say this. Clayton Kershaw had not blown a game that the Dodgers gave him 5 runs of support in his career until that day.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
Yeah, but wait, Tony, I hear you, but that's a convenient manipulation of statistics. Clayton Kershaw, and I've said this, Clayton Kershaw to me, we weren't around mm-hmm. when Sandy Koufax was pitching. I don't care how many times my dad says Sandy Koufax is better. I can't imagine that Sandy Koufax was actually better than Clayton Kershaw on Clayton Kershaw's best day. However, Tony, you're a Dodgers fan. 4 or 5 times, he just threw up all over himself at the 7th inning. I'm not making that up. Don't tell me about the 5 runs. Come on, it happens every October with them. Am I wrong?
In his career, he had never blown a game postseason or regular season where he got 5 runs of support from the Dodgers.
I heard you.
He couldn't get anybody out.
Yeah.
I heard you. No, okay, but what about when he was up by 2 runs or when he was up by 3 runs or he was up by 4 runs? Listen, in Tony's defense, I'm just messing around a little bit. I mean, I'm having fun with Tony. I appreciate the call, although, yeah, I stand by what I said. But every team, I mean, you know, if you're doing a local show in any market that wasn't a 66-win team mm-hmm. the last couple of years, you could probably do 3 hours on how your team got screwed.
That's right.
Whether it's an individual award, whether mm-hmm. it's a wild card, whether it's a divisional title, whether it's an actual NLCS or an NLDS or ALCS and ALDS, the ramifications are too far-reaching to really try to nail down. I don't know. I don't know. You know, that's why it was imperative that the commissioner did what he did.
You're right.
To hopefully dissuade people from doing this in the future. We'll see. Ack, real quick, you're a Mets guy. You and I were talking about this a little bit before the show. You own the team. What are you doing? You firing him or are you going to keep
him? I'm firing.
Yeah.
Because everybody in the industry is going to be like, you know, everybody else made their moves and demanded accountability, wanted to be beyond reproach. What about you guys?
Yeah. No, it's fair.
And the other thing is, if there was any dishonesty, if you want to call it that, involved, how do you how do you take him as a, in a position of leadership?
I do think he's respected enough by the players.
Yeah.
That probably would be that big of an issue.
But I can't say I would fire him. And I'm biased because I know him a little bit through CC, but he was a player. It's different. It's different when you're a skip and you're condoning this, or at least allowing it to happen, or like Alex Cora basically orchestrating the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Carlos Beltran was that deeply involved. I don't know. But until we find out more, I think it's premature to fire.
And by the way, a lot of people agree with you.
Yeah.
What I think the Mets should do on the lowest of levels, on the down low, is at least offer a cursory call to Bruce Bochy. He says, let's get somebody that knows Bruce, and just in case this thing goes sideways, hey, Boat, you want to come maybe win a World Series in Queens? Mm. Which, of course, won't happen because that's going to be in the Bronx. But anyway, let's get Axe Update. Steve and Sousa will join us after that. Bill Cowher, third hour. Here's Axe right now. All right, time to ask the pros here on Teak and Tierney. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. It's brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros. Make sure you stick around. Listen later on. Teak and I will answer the best one. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Now, coming up next segment, next hour, 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific, the growing trend of young stars in their absolute physical football prime stepping away. Here's another one, Luke Kuechly, and Tico and I'll get into that. We got Inbounds, Out of Bounds coming up next hour. The great Bill Cowher, our colleague here at CBS, third hour, Hall of Fame. He just got the news on Saturday. He's going to be out in Arrowhead with Boomer and Phil and Nate Dogg and JB and everybody else, the entire crew out there for the AFC Championship game. But, see, we have I'm looking forward to this interview. Good friend of the show. We've had him on a couple times. I know you guys were chatting the other night, Steve and Sousa, who a couple of years ago banged 30 bombs for the Rays, and then he went to the D-backs, and he got hurt, so he's a free agent, so he's looking for a home. He's going to find one at some point soon, I would imagine, and he's with us here on the show. Steve, welcome back, buddy. How you been?
Guys, it's always a pleasure being back on the show. You know I'm a big fan of the both of you.
Yeah, most certainly. Where are you? How are you doing physically? I know you hurt your knee back in March, I think, last year. How are you doing physically?
Man, I'm doing terrific. It was last game of spring training, slipped on home plate, tore my ACL and LCL in the same place.
Oh,
pretty wild.
Yeah.
But
was it wet out? Was it raining?
But, no. I mean, we're indoors there.
I think you said spring training. Didn't you say spring training?
Yeah, so it's the exhibition game.
Gotcha. That's right.
Yeah, that we play at Chase Field, and it was just,
that's right.
Yeah, I don't really know how to explain what happened. It was beyond anything I could comprehend, but I'll tell you this, it was pretty scary when it happened, but man, I'm doing pretty good right about now.
Well, that's good. Hopefully you land on somewhere, a team somewhere soon and get back onto the playing field. But Steve, we were talking via social media the other day, and direct messaging about this suspensions that were handed down to the Astros, and then ultimately, we knew that the Red Sox were going to do something with Cora. But, I mean, how big is this? Because BT and I were talking about it earlier. It can't just be these two teams. How big is this issue in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, it's definitely an issue, right? And I think that, you'd be fooled to think it was just the Astros that were just doing this or just the Red Sox that was going on. I mean, a lot of the things in our meetings was like trying to defend a lot of this stuff from different teams. And, when I came over from Tampa, I don't know if they're just naive to what's going on over there or whatnot, but I had no idea this was going on. And then when I went over to Arizona, they had warned me that a lot of the stuff, we have to defend around this stuff because this stuff happens around the league. And so I was pretty naive, but I don't know to what extent every team is doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know, which team stopped when Manfred said stop. I don't know those details. I'm not in the clubhouse. I can't tell you that. But I can tell you that, everybody was using it as a benefit at the beginning because it really wasn't a rule at first. And then from that point on, it was, I don't know. The Astros definitely took it to a different level.
Yeah. No, you talk about, like, having meetings to defend, like what's happening. What is the, what's what what happens in that type of meeting? Like, how do you defend from having your sign stolen? You know what I mean? Like, what do you have to do specifically?
So I'll give you an example just specifically. So when we went into Houston in 18, we were in a playoff race in 18, and they ended up taking 2 out of 3 from us at home. We beat them at our place at Chase Field, 2 out of 3, with some really close games that there was really no offense in. And then they beat us pretty good over in Houston. And we went into that series, and we had caught wind of this going on pretty early and with nobody on base, right? So you're always trying to defend with somebody on second base, steal your signs,
yeah,
multiple signs, change up the signs, use very intricate signs, different things like that. But in Houston, you had to go there, and when there was nobody on base, you had to use multiple signs. And not only that, you had to change them all the time with nobody on base. And, you know, it's tough for pitchers. Usually when there's no one on base, you can kind of breathe and get your sign and go. But when that stuff is happening in Houston, you're constantly on guard on, like, man, they could be doing something right now, you know. And so it's something that you talk about in the meetings, like, look, we're going to change the sign constantly. Listen for anything. Be on guard. If you hear anything, if you see somebody moving in the dugout, just be watching so that because it's a huge advantage. I mean, if I know what's coming and it's a strike, I mean, I definitely would be about 400 hitter, but I'd be a Hall of Fame hitter probably if I knew every pitch that was coming in my career, you know?
But Steve, you say that maybe a little hyperbolically, but I believe you because I said to Tiki before, I said, mm-hmm. listen, hitting a baseball, you know this, a darting changeup or a slider that explodes or 98 under the chin, it's hard. I mean, it's really hard. Late movement, et cetera, you know. But if you know what's coming, really, it goes from trying to do the hardest thing in pro sports to batting practice. Like, that's how different it becomes.
No doubt about it. And you watch guys, the whole thing in hitting, right, is you want to put yourself in the position to create the greatest room for error. So I want to be able to hit a fastball, and if I'm early, I want to be able to hit the breaking ball out front, right, and be able to clip it. But if I know for a fact that it's a breaking ball, okay, that's eliminated. Now I'm all – it's where I'm going to hit it. Am I going to hit it hard enough to left to get up and out? Is it going to be to right? Like, am I going to be on – like, am I going to time it up perfectly? Is it going to be a strike? You're eliminating an entire aspect of the game and making it easy.
Mm. When you have about 1/1,000th of a second to determine what the hell you're going to do as that pitch is bearing down on you.
No doubt.
Oh,
no
man.
Doubt. I mean, it's the same. You look at a guy like I'll give you a perfect example. Tyler Glasnow, right?
Yeah.
A two-pitch pitcher, but they're both elite pitches. Mm-hmm. They're elite, right? I mean, he's got a 100-mile-an-hour fastball with a hammer of a curveball. Well, if I know that it's just a fastball, well, then I can just jump and try and turn it around. I don't have to wait and see if it's a breaking ball.
That's true.
If I know it's a breaking ball, I just got to get the ball up now, and I can turn and try and hit it out, and that's dangerous.
Man, we're talking to Steven Souza with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Good friend of the show, currently a free agent, former Ray, Nats as well. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
So when you were down in Houston and you're playing them in this series, did you ever hear any of this stuff that's being alluded to?
You mean like the bangs?
Like the banging. Did you hear any trash cans being banged or hoots or hollers? Did you hear any of that? Or is that just commonplace?
No, I definitely heard it. It was kind of like the first time you hear it, you're like, am I hearing really something? Like, this is kind of strange. And then you hear some whistles every now and then, but you know, you don't want to – it's very dangerous to accuse a team of doing something to that magnitude as a player because you kind of alienate yourself. And you want to give – like, for me, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt and just say, I think they're so good that you're just trying to look for anything, right? But, you know, I have to go back and look at it. But there was some ABs. I remember in 2017 in August, and I remember Archer – was pitching, and Beltran was up, and there was just like this weird at bat where he was spitting on changeups, and I remember hearing like a bam bam, and then I remember seeing a slider, and it was like I heard a bam, and I'm in right, so I'm right next to their dugout.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just a little something strange where you're like, it's so loud in there that it kind of muffles together, but you're like, oh, that's weirdly consistent, you know.
Wow.
But again, yeah. I wasn't out there trying to accuse anyone anything, but you know, you go back now and it just kind of confirms, like, wow, this stuff was really going down.
Well, let me throw this by you here, Steve, because I get it. You know, not everybody's Derek Jeter playing 20 years for the same team. So you've already been on a couple of teams. You'll be on another team when somebody picks you up before spring training. So you have to protect your earning power. Mm-hmm. And the last thing, I get it that you wouldn't want to alienate anybody and accuse them of something at the highest level and possibly be wrong and then put yourself in a position nobody wants to employ you. But why not somebody... Right. In charge of the Diamondbacks, why not take the pressure off of Steven Souza or whomever it is? Go, it doesn't matter who it is. Send an email to Manfred. Call somebody. Call Joe Torre. I mean, that's the job of the Diamondbacks, not Steven Souza.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, Brandon, I think that stuff was going on. I think that's how it all got started. I mean, there's been investigations, but really, you can say all you want, but at the end of the day, there has to be someone on the inside to talk, to say, this is what we've been doing.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it's just hearsay. It's just accusations, and that stuff happens all the time. And so I think what Mike Fiers did is what really turned the corner. This guy's not lying. He's in the middle of it. And so what are you going to do? And, I see both sides of Fiers. I see him selling out his teammates a little bit, but at the same time, he was just being honest. And, I think more of it would be for me with him is, what was your intent? Was your intent mad because they let you go?
Mm-hmm.
Was your intent to clean up the game? Because if it was to clean up the game and that was the idea, then I'm all for it. But if he was mad in Oakland that they were using it against him and now, he says something, I'm not all for that. You know what I mean?
I would distinguish between the two as well. And you talk to Steve and Souza here on Tiki and Tierney. Steve, can you expound on this? Because I think this is very important. Everybody reacts to a ball going over the fence or, hit on the screws, a bullet in the gap. To me, the thing that I look for in terms of pitch identification, being tipped off, is how you take a pitch. Can you, because you're the player, I'm not, but to me,
yeah.
When you don't see a flinch or a shoulder lunge or a knee buckle on a nasty pitch, that tells me all I need to know. Can you tackle that a little bit?
No doubt about it. That's kind of one of the tall tale signs. It's not necessarily that, you watch a team hit balls on the screws and you're like, oh, they've got me.
Yeah.
It's more of when you take it, because guys get hit all the time, right? So it's hard to distinguish. It's when you start taking these nasty pitches that you're like, well, 90% of the league is swinging at this, mm-hmm. Why aren't you? I'll go back to the Glasnow analogy because they had, I think, a glove tip on him in the playoffs. I'm not sure. I'm just guessing. But, they had his breaking ball and fastball. And so when he's throwing that breaking ball in the dirt and you're not even – it's 88, 86 when he's throwing 100-mile-an-hour fastball. So when you're throwing 100-mile-an-hour fastball – you got to get it going. You don't have time to sit and react. You got to get it going, and you got to just be able to put on the brakes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then,
so you had to know something was coming.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But when that curveball comes, if you're thinking fastball, you put the brakes on, and hopefully you hold it up for the ball. But if you know what's coming, when that curveball hits the dirt, you just stand strong, and we call it a pro take, a show take.
Hey, Steve.
I saw that out of your hand.
Steve, we have about 30 seconds here, but – and the levels of egregiousness, where does this sit? Is this up near the steroid? Is it below it? Where does
Black
this
socks.
Sit?
That's tough. That's tough to say. It's up there. It's probably one of the greatest team-wide scandals in sports in a long time, And the sad thing for me is, those are really, really good players already over there.
Yeah.
Fantastic players. So you put that in, it's up there. Yeah, I don't know what steroid or not, but it's definitely up there.
Hey, listen, this was awesome. We're going to get you back on as soon as you sign with your new team. And Steven Souza, it's been a little bit, but we're following you on social media. Great intel. I'm sure our audience loved it. Great having you back on the show, buddy.
Appreciate you, Steven. Good luck to you.
Guys, always a pleasure. I look forward to Tierney's interactions with KD again.
Can't wait. Hey, listen, man. The guy was trying to come at me, Steve. I can't get out like a chump, man. Come on. Thanks, pal. Steve is awesome. That was we got a few things to react to there. That was some pretty good stuff. Luke Kuechly hangs him up. Wow, that's coming up next, hour number two.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.